They were, for a start, brilliant propagandists who reminded everyone that they were gods constantly and that everyone's welfare depended upon them. Like the pharaohs and others, they were careful to reward bravery in battle and to bring economic advantage to those they conquered. Now, this is a very startlingly elementary thing, but people have got to see an advantage in being ruled by someone else. And the Incas succeeded at that for all their ruthlessness, because they were very clever to combine economic benefits and incentives with rewards and justifications, as well as with a powerful ideology. They were careful to honor local lords, and provided they were loyal, gave them considerable authority. But above all, the Inca rulers were consummate administrators. They were propagandists who happened to be administrators, rather a rare combination. They presided over an empire of extraordinary cultural and environmental diversity. And they did this without written records, just a system of knotted strings. This required, of course, extraordinary numbers of people whose memories acted as inventories. Tahuantinsuyo, the land of the four quarters, radiated out from the center of the world at Cusco, high in the Andes. Laid out in a cruciform plan, Cusco was centered around a central plaza bisected by two rivers. Just south lay the Coriantia, the Temple of the Sun, six one-room buildings with gold-covered walls surrounding a central courtyard. A closely fitted masonry wall surrounded the entire complex. Masonry by the Inca is famous for its tight fit. It's wonderful. And in front of this was a garden of golden plants in the form of a shrine, in front of a shrine with a golden image of the sun. Inca architects were master builders. They dragged granite boulders to the capital, then trimmed them with river cobbles to fit perfectly with their nature, with their neighbors. You can't even fit a credit card through some of the cracks. And with this, they created earthquake-proof walls. Such efficiency was typical of an empire divided into four provinces and run using carefully modified institution like the meter tax, a meter labor tax adopted from earlier states by careful inventories of what lay in storehouses, the ubiquitous storehouses found in every community. The essence of efficient Inca government of distant lands was efficient communications. They created an elaborate road system that linked ancient roadways like those of the Chimú with other systems, with zigzag narrow paths that went high in the Andes, where there were regular rest houses and where llama caravans passed constantly. It is said that the Inca could pass a message from Lima to Cusco by runner quicker than the Portuguese, the Spanish, could do it with a horse. They could move armies, dispatch messengers, and send llama caravans with trade goods the length and breadth of Tahuantinsuyo. Their passion for organization impinged on everyone's life. They divided society into 12 age divisions for census and tax purposes, with adulthood lasting as long as you could do a day's work. And they used the quipu, the knotted string, to keep accurate inventories of everything, the knots and combination of knots indicating supplies of grain and so on, the contents and resources of conquered lands and the contents of village storehouses. It was a powerful instrument for ensuring social conformity. But by the early 16th century, the institution of split inheritance had caused such expansion that the Inca were running out of places to conquer, and there were horrendous logistical problems. And it was at this moment that civil war raged over succession, and the Spanish adventurer Francisco Pizarro landed in Tahuantinsuyo in 1532. He captured the supreme Inca, murdered him, and a year later became a master of the greatest of all Native American empires. In this lecture, we've traced this latest story of Andean civilization from the fall of Omoche through the rise and fall of Tiwanaku to Chimor with its institutions that were taken over by the Inca, which created the greatest empire of all, the land of the four quarters.